Erie Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. And in this segment, I check in with Delina White, whose fashion designs are making a social impact.
I have a lot of friends and family members who are two-spirit, and it really hurts me when they have issues about being bullied. And so I'm here to support my two-spirit relatives in being who they are.
That is Delina White. Her I Am Anishinaabe Fashion House creates clothing, jewelry, and accessories influenced by her Anishinaabe heritage. Her impeccable designs, craftsmanship, and beadwork are donned by many women, men, and two-spirit people. And her work is finding its way to some pretty phenomenal places this summer. In August, I Am Anishinaabe will be featured in the fashion show at the Santa Fe Indian Market. The market is known as the largest and most prestigious Native American fine art show in the world. And tomorrow night, her designs will be the main show at a one-of-a-kind fashion event on the terrace of the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis. This special fashion show will showcase gender fluidity. From the models to the DJs behind the music, all aspects of this show will be sensitive to the LGBTQ experience. An experience that will be celebrated through fashion on this special evening, honoring Pride Month.
So I call my brand I Am Anishinaabe because I can talk about my Anishinaabe people. All nations of people, tribal people, are very similar and very, very different. So we have to recognize that and be sensitive to it, be aware of it, and then to appreciate it as well. So we do share some designs. It depends on what era in time that we're talking about, when things were traded, whether they're traded from the East Coast or the West Coast or South or Northern. We also include Canada because, you know, there were no boundaries. So we would travel up into Canada freely. So the Anishinaabe people here in Minnesota are considered the Southwest Anishinaabe because we have a large majority of Anishinaabe in Canada.
Your designs are classified as something called the Great Lakes style or the Woodlands style. And I know one of the common elements in those designs is the bold floral patterns. But what does it mean to have the Great Lakes or the Woodlands style?
The Great Lakes area, of course, is the Great Lakes. We also call it the woodland style because there's a lot of trees and swamps and rivers and, of course, all of the rivers and the lakes that are connected to the Great Lakes. Like the Great Lakes is the largest freshwater body in the world. So it's very significant and very important to everybody in the world. So we, as Great Lakes people, are the people who live near and around the Great Lakes. And there's several nations of us. And when the Europeans arrived, they arrived here through the St. Lawrence River, coming from the Atlantic Ocean. And so along their journey on the St. Lawrence River, they had met several nations of people along the way. So by the time they had gotten to around when we were here, it was around the 1500s and 1600s. And at that time, there were several other nations of people who they are still considered Great Lakes tribes, although they live farther away now.
Oh.
So they were displaced or relocated through reservations. A lot of them were killed through diseases and war, and a lot of them intermarried into other tribes. So that's kind of where we're at today. So we're dispersed through a lot of different areas. Say, for example, the Ho-Chunk people are mainly located in Wisconsin, but many of them were relocated to Winnebago, Nebraska. So the Meskwaki people were also around this area, but now they're down in Kansas. But they still have the same floral designs of being in the woodlands and the Great Lakes area.
Okay, so those
Well, I guess I associate it with the Anishinaabe designs with the flowers mm-hmm. and stuff. But that mm-hmm. is something that would you would see that in other tribes along the Great Lakes.
Yes. As well. So we have a connection to other tribes along that St. Lawrence River, and we call them the Woodlands. So the people like the Wampanoag and the Narragansett along the eastern coast by the Atlantic Ocean and the Wabanaki are considered eastern woodlands. But because they have that woodlands landscape of where they came from, the indigenous people of the area, they still have similar designs because we share the same forests and the lakes and the landscapes.
With I Am Anishinaabe, you've really brought the designs that have been created by Native people for hundreds of years into the modern age. And last summer, I Am Anishinaabe Fashions graced the cover of Native Max magazine. And that cover image of you and your daughters and your granddaughter all wearing your designs was such a fierce and powerful and beautiful image. It really showed the contemporary ways of wearing the Great Lakes and Woodlands designs that have been passed through the generations for all these hundreds of years. It was incredible.
Yeah, that was at the Walker. Yeah, and that was really pretty controversial for us too, because that was our urban vibe. And then that was where Lavender had made the skirt with the slit that came way up high.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was, I said, you know, that you can wear that in a club if you want to, and if you want to show your leg, you can, you know, so.
Okay. Did you get some blowback from that?
Yeah, we did. It was the most controversial thing that we have ever made, and I'm not afraid of controversy. I don't want to say that I welcome it, because, you know, I want people to like what it is that we do, but I welcome feedback. And so there was a long thread, you know, discussions for and against it. And it was really interesting to watch,
interesting.
You know,
from
everything that came through.
From the Native community, I'm assuming.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So there was, they were thinking it was not respecting the culture or something?
Right. Uh-huh. Oh. I think so.
I love that you contemporized it.
And,
make it
relevant, I think. Yeah. Well, I think that it's appropriate. I thought it was very beautiful. And of course, there are people who absolutely love it. You know, it's probably, well, not only the most controversial thing that, I don't want to say we made, but at the time it was we.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the most controversial thing that Lavender had made. Mm-hmm. And people just absolutely love it.
I am talking with Delina White. She is a Native apparel designer. Her fashion house is called I Am Anishinaabe. And that image that we are talking about that is on the cover of Native Max magazine incorporates modern elements like t-shirts with cutout shoulders and leather biker jackets, along with the beadwork and fashion designs of the I Am Anishinaabe Fashion House. The photo shoot for that cover happened at the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis. And now tomorrow night, Thursday, June 13th, there is a very special event happening at the Walker. Delina's work will be on display in a style show that is all about gender fluidity.
I'm doing a two-spirit fashion show, and it's in celebration of Minnesota's Pride Month. And the way that I work is getting to know the models and who the models are as an individual, because I just think everybody is an individual, and everybody is so different. And then I like to see the fabrics, like when I find fabrics and materials that I like, or actually I love them, immediately something comes into my mind about how I would use it. When I know the models, I know which fabric would go with which model. So
it's couture in that way, almost, because you're creating
specifically for individual people. So I'm really excited about the show, and there's a lot of things that have been going on, misconceptions about the traditional skirt, and people are talking about stories, and sometimes the stories are really very beautiful, but it's not the things that I have learned about, or it's not the reasons why I have produced the traditional skirt. Mm-hmm. People will reach out to me and ask me questions about lots of different things, about the jingle dress, skirts and clothing and ceremonies and things like that. And some women have been saying that they were not allowed to attend a ceremony because they weren't wearing their skirts. And traditionally, we've always worn our skirts in the ceremony. And, and I have not heard about this. Well, I don't want to say a lot because I've heard it happen several times, but I don't know of anybody who would be so strict as to say you can't participate in the ceremony because you're not wearing a skirt. But if this is what they've said, then I believe that it's true, that they have experienced somebody telling them that. Well, some women are two-spirit and don't identify as women, and that they feel and identify as being male. Okay. So they'll call me and they'll say, you know, I've been told this, what can I do? And I said, well, you should be able to wear a ribbon shirt if they're having some regulations on your attire and how you should come prepared for the ceremony, then you should be allowed to wear your ribbon shirt. Because traditionally, the men will wear the traditional ribbon shirt. Mm-hmm. So then they're like, oh, you know, that's such a good idea, you know, and somebody else has called me and was trying to explain, you know, that they wanted to dance and they're currently a jingle dress dancer and how they see themselves wearing a man's traditional outfit. And, you know, it's something that they've envisioned. So they feel like it's something that they need to strive for, that it's who they are. But how will they be received by the community if they come out wearing the traditional men's suit being a woman? Mm-hmm. And so I'm always supportive to the individual and about what makes them happy. Mm-hmm. And that as long as you are in pure of heart is what I call it, and you do things the best way according to your heart or however you've been taught, because everybody does everything different. And from the lodge that I was taught, the leader of the lodge said that there's more than one way to get to heaven. And I thought that was so beautiful. And that particular teaching is basically to respect everybody's religion. But I can use that in every aspect of life. And it's like, well, not any one way is right or wrong as long as you're doing it the best way that you can. And you're respecting your teachings that however you were raised, and if it feels right, then you shouldn't be condemned for it. So I have a lot of friends and family members who are two-spirit, and it really hurts me when they have issues about being bullied. And so I'm here to support my two-spirit relatives in being who they are. And so people come to me and they say, you know, this is about who I am and how do I express that? And then I'm supportive to them about it. And I give them the way I envision, you know, something that would be really beautiful to wear so that they feel beautiful.
Tomorrow night, Delina's support and love for her two-spirit friends and all other two-spirit people will be palpable, as all of the models in her fashion show are two-spirit. It's an element of her style shows that she has done before.
A two-spirit model who was for the first time had worn a skirt. When I was doing the model call, I said, I'm looking for a two-spirit male who would be okay being shirtless and with lots of tats would be super cool. Yes, I had a vision for what it was I wanted to make and how I wanted it to be presented. And so they gave me a male model, and so I was talking with her, and I said, do you have pierced ears? No, you know, so okay, I need to turn the earrings into clips. And then I'm like, well, have you ever walked in high heels before? No. So I'm like, okay, well, let's do some men's ballet slippers. like the black ballet slippers. Those would be real pretty. So let's do that. And then she says, I can do it. I want to wear heels. I can do it. And I'm like, well, I don't want you to be out there and be unstable if you're not comfortable in heels. So she was able to find some heels that were, you know, a decent height. And then this particular skirt required to be puffy, so I had to put several layers of tulle underneath it. And then she was like behind the scenes just going like this with the tulle because it feels so good, you know? It's fun, and it's a scary thing, too, because you feel like you're helping to liberate them and to be really supportive about who they are, but then you fear the persecution that they face in the world. So then I'm like, well, you know, how do you feel about going topless? And then she says, you know, I'm not ashamed of my body. So I thought that was just really a beautiful answer. And then I brought fake tattoos. Just in case, you know, because you can't find everything. So the makeup artists put on the fake tattoos, and we got her all dressed up. And when she walked onto the stage, it was like the biggest roar of the crowd. Everybody was like, oh, you know, because she was just so beautiful. And then a few weeks later, she contacts me and she says, I wore a skirt out in public for the first time. And so I felt really happy about that. That's kind of like where my journey is taking me. It's just kind of like a natural progress.
That is fashion designer Delina White. You can attend her fashion show tomorrow night on the terrace at the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis. It's called Indigenous Spirit, Gender Fluid Fashion. That event will be hosted by Ondine, the Siren Queen, and Xochi de la Luna. DJ will be Bleak Roses, and her beats are what you've been hearing in this episode of Area Voices. Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota. Want to remind you also that in addition to Delina being at the Walker tomorrow night with her style show on the terrace, her jewelry is also at the Minneapolis Institute of Art right now as part of their Hearts of Our People exhibit, which is featuring the artwork of Native American women.